Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to, well, this won't be your normal episode. With me are the pals. We're going to do a casual conversation on the power over your tongue. Or in other words, gossip or cursing, you know, or basically using your tongue to hurt people. We're going to discuss that and we're going to explore the Bible with three different passages that we've looked at and studied. And we're going to have a casual conversation because what I want you guys to realize is that your tongue is a powerful tool. And we have to watch what we say about people. We have to watch the gossip. And we have to pray for those people that we either don't like or we want to talk ill of. And the gossip, listen, if this world did not have gossip, we would be in a so much better place. So I want you guys to just sit on back and enjoy this short episode or this short podcast from the pals.
The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
So, as promised, here are the pals, Brandon, Robert, and Timothy. And we're going to talk about power over your tongue and how your tongue can be like a sharp sword. So, Maruli.
How you doing, man?
I'll be good. So, since I got the pals together, Robert, Timothy, and myself, we're going to, you know, we're going to explore this topic. We're going to talk about it. And I kind of want to hear what you guys have to say about this power over your tongue. We did look at some Bible verses, and we're going to use those Bible verses to help enhance our discussion. So, without further ado, can somebody tell me what does this mean? Power over your tongue.
So, you're talking about just in general, or what the definition of it?
In general.
In general. I think, by the way, everybody, this is Robert.
The Lutheran.
In my perspective of power of the tongue is to be able to control what you say. Because again, you say certain things, it could hurt people. If you don't control what you say, you can also damage people. So power of your tongue would be to control what you say, but I hate to say it, in today's society, no one has that. And so my philosophy is power of the tongue is to hold what you say and to actually think before you speak. Kind of like, you know, when they say speak before, or to think before you speak, your actions also speak louder than your words too. That's just my philosophy. What about you, Tim?
Just to sum up what Robert was saying, it's just pretty much watching what you're saying, and just pretty much what Brandon was saying too, swinging of your sword, because God is on a play every single word that we say. You know, he's going to hold it against us. That's pretty much what I have on that instinct.
So when you say God's going to hold it against us, what do you mean by that?
All right, so whenever I say that, it's, did we share his name right?
Can I say something?
Sure.
I'm going to piggyback on what y'all saying. What I think he means is when he says God's going to hold it or replay it for you is the day upon judgment when you're in front of God himself and he judges you. He's going to play it like a recorder or a movie. He's going to show you your entire life and he's going to show every gossip, every curse word, every time you blasphemed his name, every time you went against all his commandments. It's going to be replayed, everything. So he's going to hold it against you. He's going to replay what you said on this earth.
That's pretty much what I was trying to get to.
Okay, cool. We'll move on. All right. So when I look at the power of the tongue, I work in law enforcement. So I get a lot of stories, keyword gossip, that comes my way. And I'm not a fan of gossip. But I have to admit, because I'm a sinner, I do engage in gossip. But for the most part, I am called the hammer. I usually shut the gossip down when it gets to my ears. And sometimes I can do it to where it'll hurt the person that is actually doing the gossip. Is your ear okay?
It's just like crazy. Oh, I'm good.
Sorry. Okay. Oh, we have a guy scratching his ear. Anyway.
It looks like a jackrabbit.
But anyway, so yes, I'm always looking for ways to shut down gossip whenever it gets to me. For example, I'll make up a story. and we'll use Timothy as the person that we're gossiping about. So if I'm talking to Maruli about something Timothy does...
Why can't it just be Robert?
I'm sorry.
Thank you, sir. I don't like my government last name used.
I guess I have to have power over my tongue, right?
There it is right there.
All
right.
So anyway, so I'm talking to Maruli about about Timothy, and it's not of good substance that we're talking about. It's something that's actually going to hurt Timothy in the long run. So we have this thing where if we do something toward each other, we'll throw something out like, I know for a fact you're not going to Philippians 4:9, and it's our code talk, you know, kind of like
we're keeping each other in check.
But yeah, that's exactly it. We're keeping each other in check, and we're holding each other accountable.
Exactly.
So I want to switch gears here, and I want to get into some topics where we actually see the power of the tongue at play in a negative way. And then we're going to talk about the power of the tongue in a positive way. I want each of us to share a time where we spoke negatively about someone or about something in a way that would not be edifying to our brother in Christ.
Tim, go ahead. You look like you're eager.
I'll start off first. So I remember this one time where I was getting bullied, and a bully just makes another bully, right? Well, I didn't have no self-training, and I was just bullying other people, and I was talking really, really bad about them, and that was me gossiping about random stuff. If I seen you do something, I would just gossip about you. Even if you weren't doing anything, I would still make something up and still gossip about you. So that's what I got.
What did you learn from that?
If there's any kids listening to this, I would advise you not to gossip, because it could possibly get you arrested or looking on the law enforcement side. Criminal, I don't know.
Well, that would be infringing upon freedom of speech. But I get where you're going.
Pretty much there are consequences anywhere you go if you gossip.
Well said. Well said.
All right. So Robert now, not Maruli. But anyways, my time that I, used the power of the tongue to cause harm or was a bad time frame was a relationship from the past. Trade this person was amazing. Loved that person unconditionally. Did everything to make that person feel great, loved. The downside about that relationship is God wasn't in there. When the relationship finally ended and it was over, I don't like to say it, but I cursed at that person. I wished bad upon them. The tongue overran me instead of me praying for them and, giving them strength and hope and hopefully that they can find Christ. But I did the opposite, and it was a mistake. And I learned from it because from the teachings and from me reading my Bible, that is something we are not to do. We are to actually love them and pray for them as much as we can. And I did the complete opposite, which I repent for, and I'm very sorry for doing it.
Yeah, I had this time where it was actually truthful. I don't know if that's considered gossip, but I probably could have not spoke on it. So I had this friend that came to me with a concern about another person, and I didn't find out till later that they were trying to harm this person, and I didn't catch it in time. And I was asked, what do I think about this person? How is their work ethic? XYZ. And this is before I became a cop in law enforcement. This is back when I was a graphic designer. So I freely spoke, and I'm like, I like the person, but the person lacks the workability to keep doing things. Or better yet, the person's kind of lazy, but has a good design ethic, if you will. But they take breaks every 5 minutes. They go walk to the store just to get out of work. And it gets annoying, or it got annoying when I worked there. But at the same time, I liked the person because the person was nice. The person actually did care. They did do things to seem like a good person. But when I was asked by the management what I thought about the person, I spoke freely because, that's what I do. But I didn't realize they were trying to find a way to get rid of this person. Now, in the business world, you want somebody that works and produces.
Yeah.
Okay. So I completely get it. This person didn't lose their job right away based on my statement, if you will. But a couple months later, I think the boss just had enough and asked that person just to leave, which ended up hurting us in the long run because that graphic designer was probably one of our best graphic designers, but this person wasn't producing like they should. And I felt that I gossiped against that person instead of trying to lift that person up in a sense of.
So basically the quantity was there, but, or the quality was there, but not the quantity.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and I think I could have, I think I should have gone about this a different way. Basically given a person's quality of their work, I should have been like, look, give them a chance. Let me talk to them. Give me the opportunity to try to work with this person.
Take them under your wing.
Yeah. Okay. And I didn't do that. And I wasn't trying to make myself look good or build myself up. I was just another graphic designer, just like he was. There was no gain in this.
Right.
But I do felt that I could have handled that in a different way.
Did you learn from it?
I did. Going into law enforcement, I think that's why I kind of shut rumors down more now when they get to me versus speaking on them. Or I'll become a listening ear and pray to God that I can keep my tongue and not go spread this rumor elsewhere. Now we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about the power of the tongue in a positive light. But I want to go back on one of my previous episodes. I talked about a certain bishop that spoke pretty harshly against the president.
Did you do that on your podcast?
I did.
Okay.
And like I said, we're not going to talk politics on here. But what I want to convey with this next segment is how if we continue to use our tongue to speak ill about someone, especially with the United States government, we're not going to get anywhere. All we're going to get is stonewall. We're going to get blocked on everything we try to do. In my personal opinion, I feel like the people no longer have a voice. So now with the next segment, I want to, you know, us to talk about when we spoke well about someone. And then we're going to look at scripture to back up everything we're talking about.
Go ahead, Tim.
You got it.
Oh, I got it?
Yeah.
I
got
to be first?
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, man. I got to be first. Let's see. I've had multiple times. You want me to choose my best one?
Sure.
All right. Let's see. The best time I spoke good about someone. All right. I have a good example, actually. I think I spoke about this in a podcast. I think it was the first one I did with you about prayer and what it meant to me. If y'all want to look that up. I did talk about my bio a little bit about my background. There was a time, though, again, I'm going to kind of go back to it, that I was down on my luck and I was about to become basically homeless. Well, someone was generous enough to allow me to move in with them and offer me, you know, a place to stay and help me get back on my feet. I thanked them unconditionally, and I still thank them to this day for what they did because they didn't have to, you know what I mean? They didn't have to actually let me stay with them. They could have told me, you know what, hey, go find your own place. Sorry, move along. But no, I thank that person every day as much as I can. And because of that, I also believe that was God's work. That reason why I moved in with that person, I've become more closer to God too. So it's actually helped me in the long run too.
No, everything happens for a reason.
You're right. You're right.
This is Tim. Hey.
Hi, Tim.
What are we, an AA meeting, guys?
I guess.
My name's Bob. I'm an alcoholic.
So we're talking about something nice?
Yeah, a time that a good thing happened.
All right, so
tongue in a good way.
You know, when I spoke good about somebody, I was still, you know, a bully at the time. But I was, like, still overcoming of, like, not bullying and everything. And I seen somebody else getting bullied. I pretty much did what Brandon does and just shut the, you know, the gossip down and the bullying down. I mean, that's how I see bullying, is just gossiping. Even whenever, you know, the bully is beating up the innocent child or bystander. Long story short, I stuck up for the innocent child instead of, you know, jumping in with the bully. That's the beginning, you know, that's the restart of my Christian walk, is whenever, you know, I started living right and started reading my Bible more.
Nice. So one of my, this one was painful. Actually, I was a graphic designer again, actually in my earlier career. And I had a particular person that I worked with and for that judged me based on the type of church that I went to, the type of friends that I had, and the political party that I'm a part of, which means a lot, but doesn't mean much when it comes to my walk with Christ. And I think it was a couple years later. Now, granted, I was still upset with this person. And at this, I think it was 3 years later, I still didn't forgive this person for what happened because it was painful. And I'm not going to get into detail about it. But someone came up to me and asked me a question about this person almost simultaneously. Instead of saying, oh, he's a piece of junk. You know, he's not worth your time. He's, you know, don't trust him. Yada, yada, yada. almost simultaneously, out of my mouth came, oh, well, no, you need to look for this in this guy because he's really good at that. And I kind of had a conversation of, you know, if you're looking for a specific thing, he's the guy to go to. Mm-hmm. And when I finished that conversation, I walked off. I'm like, did I mean that? Or did I just say that? Because that guy was horrible to me. Like, why would I defend him? What? And after that, I kind of moved into the stage. That'd
be called the Holy Spirit.
That would be considered the Holy Spirit, you know, working. And I mean, yeah, we're talking about prayer, but Romans 8, I'm gonna mess this up. But I know it's in Romans 8 when it talks about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit praying for us because we don't know how to pray as we ought to. Because of the Holy Spirit intervening at that time, I was able to lift up my enemy.
I mean, it's also could go with the golden rule, treat others like you want to be treated.
That is true.
Because instead of you bashing him, you know, you lifted him up in the nicest way. I mean, I take it as, you know, the golden rule, if I want somebody to speak good in my name, I wouldn't want to have them do the same for me.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so we kind of got the boring stuff out of the way. Now let's get to the meat. We're going to look at some scripture. If you're new to reading the Bible, or if you're trying to get some kind of makeshift reading plan but trying to be diligent with it, we're going to look at a couple of passages that lean toward the power of the tongue, if you will. And I know I just recently preached on James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13 that talks about favoritism, but the whole book of James literally is, I'm going to call it, this is my interpretation of the book of James. This is called the letter of correction in my eyes, because when you look at the entire book, I'll take you through a walkthrough. It's a very small book. So chapter one, basically at your greeting, chapter two talks about the sin of partiality or the sin of favoritism. Chapter three, which is where we're going to be in partially today, is taming the tongue. And then chapter five is the warning of the rich.
You skipped chapter four, sir.
Hang on. I skipped chapter four for a reason. Okay. But if you look in chapter five, I'm sorry. If you look in chapter three, there's another section. If you're in the Crossway study or the ESV Crossway Bible, you'll see it. But then it talks about boasting about tomorrow, which that also can be a form of not taming your tongue, mm-hmm. You know, boasting about, oh, I got this, I got that. Or if you listen to the prosperity gospel preachers, oh, let me anoint your money or whatever. Is that what we're all about? Worshiping money?
No.
Okay. Now that I skipped chapter four, chapter four is warning against worldliness. Now I skipped that one and I came back to it for this reason. We are a sinful people. We know this.
Hands down.
Hands down. We can't fight it. We can't deny it. It is who we be. But because we are worldly people, we always engage in gossip. Okay.
That's true.
And because of our worldliness, we get engulfed in other sins. And since we're talking about power of the tongue, because we're caught up in worldliness, how can I make myself look good? Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Robert. Yeah, that dude's a piece of work. He needs some work. Oh, but Brandon beating my chest. I'm good. You know, I can do X, Y, Z. Oh, Timothy. Oh, Timothy's a great guy. We like Timothy. But let's shun Maruli or Robert because we don't like him. You know, so our worldliness can be a multitude of things. And if we're not careful, we can be detrimental. We can be very divisive toward one another. We got to be careful with that. So now we're going to turn to scripture. And our Timothy, what is your scripture you would like to share with us today?
Rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing.
What does that verse mean to you?
So what it means to me, my seminary that I'm going to, we're about to go to Mardi Gras, a couple of days actually, and preach the gospel to, you know, bystanders and people that are in the world. Well, what this means to me is it says there is one whose rash words, which is the sinners on the street of Bourbons, are like swords thrust. So like they're swinging profanity, cursing God's name, everything like that. And then it goes on saying, but the tongue of the wise, which is us, you know, the believers, and the people that are going out on Bourbon Street and preaching to people to get people saved and to actually know Christ and, you know, keeping in contact with them brings healing. And that's just to finish the verse. It brings healing. So whenever we're going out, we're touching lives, we're bringing healings, we're breaking chains, but we also gotta deny our flesh. You know, we also gotta beware and be aware of our words.
I want to clarify something. You said that it's a segment. You said get people saved.
Well, it's not me. It's, you know, it's the Father working through me.
Okay.
If that's where you're going.
Yeah, I just want to clarify that.
My bad.
No, it's okay. The whole point of this podcast is just to us to have casual conversation. Iron sharpens iron. That's what we're doing here.
Right.
So Robert is over here scribing on a piece of paper towel.
From McDonald's.
Thanks to McDonald's who provided the paper towel for us to be able to write our notes. All right, Robert, what is your scripture?
Mine is going to be in the book of Psalms, chapter 52. Mine's also ESV. It's going to be verse 2 through 4. There's a reason why I'm going to break it up, and then I'm going to do 4 or 5 through 9. The first 2 through 4. My apologies. 52, 2 through 4. Again, this is book of Psalms. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. What that right there states alone is, again, it's self-explanatory. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, your work of deceit. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. So basically, you like to use your tongue to lie. You like to use your tongue to deceive people. You like to use your tongue to hurt people. You like to use your tongue to just bring them down. So again, it's all right there in that you love all words that devour. It's self-explanatory. Now, verse 5 through 9 advises, but God will break you down forever. He will snatch you. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen.
That's an inside joke.
It's an inside joke.
Bro.
Anyways, I apologize. Let's get back to God's word, gentlemen. He will snatch you and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I will trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. What that all explains is that from the beginning at chapter or verse 5, God will break you down forever. If you trust in God and you actually have a relationship with God, you should not actually use your tongue for deceitful words or say things bad toward people. He will break you down. He will, if you like it or not. If you are chosen by him to, you know, be a follower of Christ, yes, Tim.
You can finish. I just want to ask something.
Okay. If you are chosen to be a follower of Christ, he will break you down to where you are to follow Christ. Because, again, we all know that that path to God is very narrow and hard. But that path to sin is wide and easy. All right. And at the very end of that chapter 52, verse 9, I will thank you forever because you have done it. I'll wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. Godly, from what I did a little cross reference, is the faithfulness, everybody who's faithfulness. So as long as you're with other Christians, you should all, again, what Brandon said earlier today, that we should all hold each other accountable. That's what I see, and that's what Psalms chapter 52, verse 2 through 9, to me, states. Yeah, what'd you have to add on? I'm sorry, sir.
No, you're good. So whenever you were talking about, you know, breaking us down and building us back up, I actually knew somebody that, like, was living rich and, like, was living, you know, good and fancy. And next minute, you know, later, they're, like, struggling to find, you know, the income. You know, they just got laid off of their job. They got, you know, bills were needed to get done. So it's just kind of like they weren't a Christian, you know, but they were living good. But whenever he fell, that's whenever he turned into, you know.
Now, during the time he was living all rich-like,
right,
was he using his tongue for bad or good? If you know, do you know?
No, I don't know. But
I was like, because if you would say yes, he was, it'd be perfect for this segment right now. because he was living a rich life and using his tongue for deceitfulness.
Well, keep in mind the worldly, we got riches. The riches. We got to remember this. James talks about it. We must be aware and we got to be warned about the worldliness. Okay?
Because true. Money is worldly.
Because worldly people in the sense of everybody else's eyes can be good people.
Yeah.
But when you look at God, when you talk about holy, no one is righteous. No, not even one.
Right.
Okay, so even though he was good in human standards, he may have been living right, doing what he's supposed to do. He just had all this money, you know. He could have been giving money to charity, doing whatever he had to do to make himself look good.
Right.
But because God was not in it, like Robert said earlier, and I like to look at a relationship. I hate the saying, and I'm explaining why. Everybody you hear say, oh, well, Christ has to be the foundation of your relationship. I hate that saying. I will publicly say I hate that saying because we're missing two other key parts. We have to start and we have to build on Christ. But then...
So it's kind of like a triangle, what you're getting at, or...
Well, let me finish because okay. It may not be a triangle.
It might be a square or a circle, sir.
Right. Could be. But we start with the foundation, which is Christ.
Right.
All right. But we also have to have the structural support to hold up the relationship, the which is also Christ. That's the pillars. Yep. And then we have to be covered by Christ. Okay. If you want to say it's a triangle, you could say it's a triangle. But when I talk about pillars.
Triangle has a tip, though, at the top that could be unbalanced.
Well, I mean.
If you make it like a square, it's completely structured.
I know what you're getting at. You're getting at the Trinity.
Right. Well.
Well, no, but if you look at how he explained it, you have a base, two right. pillars, and you have the roof. That's the most, if you actually look at most architecture structures, that's the most secure way to build something, just like your relationship with Christ. It should be that strong.
Right.
That's what Brandon's getting at. You right. see what he's saying now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Because if you want me to break it down further, I can. The foundation is Christ. The two pillars is the husband and the wife, which together they make one
right.
support, and then they're covered by Christ.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay. So, I mean, look, the person could have been a great person. But the simple fact that they didn't acknowledge that God was God and God was the reason for them having all of their riches, in due time, they fall. You know, and I preached on this again in my sermon on James. It is because of God's will that these people are in positions that they're in. And whenever he says, okay, they fall.
Nothing works outside the will of
yeah.
God.
Nothing works outside the will of God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. I think you guys got the hint. My verse is out of James.
Hold on. Before you start, did you have anything else?
No, that was it.
Okay.
That was it. Okay, so my verse is out of James, and you're going to hear me say this a lot. Just bear with me. One of my favorite books in the Bible. James chapter 3, verses 2, starts off saying this. We all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouth, into mouths of horses, so they obey us. Okay. Now I guess that's the little things that, you know, Mr. Ed has whenever he's being rode by a person or whatever. But anyway, basically if we feed an animal, they obey us. Then it goes on and says that we guide their whole bodies as well. So, if I was to read further, it'll tell me that I must bridle my tongue and I must be careful in what I say. And look, and James.
He even said it clear as day, humble.
Yeah, he's swinging his sword wildly. He is going after these people. You know, if there's one thing about James, he's going to correct the people that's supposed to be of the church.
Amen.
And I find a lot of, okay, I watched a YouTube video. Maybe 2 weeks ago. And it was this guy. He was literally, now I'm a Matt Chandler fan. I love Matt Chandler. I love Rabbi Zacharias. And these two gentlemen, Rabbi and Matt, went to this so-called apostate or apostolic conference or whatever it was. And this guy gets on there and basically says that Matt Chandler and Zachariah are now apostate people. And he was just swinging that sword wildly. But what he doesn't know is that Matt Chandler will go to conferences like this to preach the gospel correctly, okay, or to correct the what these people are so-called believing. Rabbi Zacharias does the same thing. Rabbi Zacharias, being an apologetics person, is able to clear up what Christians are supposed to believe. Mm-hmm. Matt Chandler will come and preach the gospel correctly. I've seen him do it at the at 2012's Orange Code Orange Revival with the pastor Stephen Furtick. He did it there, you know. But you'll get people that will literally come in and start attacking what I like to call Bible believing preachers without any evidence, any ammo. Like, they just come in.
They're shooting blanks.
Right, just because that pastor went and preached at that kind of conference.
Right.
I hate to say it, but those kinds of people need Jesus too. And instead of us sitting there talking about how bad their theology is,
we should be praying for them.
Praying and stepping up and preaching them the right gospel.
Right.
So as we close this segment, I do want us to realize that, yes, this was a mini section, and we did discuss what we believe the power over your tongue means. We want you guys to dive into the word, search deeper, research, you know, what this means. Talk to a pastor. If you go to a church, as I highly recommend everyone go to a church, have this discussion with your pastors, with your elders, and get answers. You know, use this podcast as a resource. You know, we're not theologians. We're not trained theologians. Well,
didn't you go to a class there, Brandon?
Hush. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an ordained pastor.
I was like, yeah, we're just not ordained. We're just, this is what we like to read, what we kind of understand, but we're not 100% ordained to confirm, yes, this is what it is. This is what we believe, people.
Right. So if we said something in this podcast that you don't agree with or you want to clarify, by all means, you can reach out to us. And if I don't know the answer, I will find the answer and gladly respond back to you in the clearest way possible.
And put in the comments whatever you want.
So you can reach me directly at escout06@gmail.com. That is escout06@gmail.com with your questions. But this is all for the pals, and you got something you want to say, Timothy?
No, I'm good.
All right. So this is the end of this mini section, and I want to thank you guys for joining in with us. God bless you all, and y'all have a blessed and glorious weekend. And please stay tuned. This Friday, we plan on having another podcast published on our season of prayer. So you guys stay tuned. I love you guys. God bless you. Share this podcast, and you can find us on iTunes,
Anchor,
Stitcher, Breaker, Spreaker, and a bunch of other ones.
All the above.
Well, again, we appreciate y'all for listening in on us. Also, if you hear our podcast, please, you know, share it with others. We like to get, you know, God's word out there as much as we can. Share as much as you want. Tell them about us. Hopefully, you know, other people come closer to Christ by you telling them about us and they hear what we got to say. Again, we appreciate it. We do love you guys.
All right. I love y'all. God bless y'all. Y'all have a great night, and I will see you Friday. Well, technically, you will hear from us Friday.
Buenas noches.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.